Amen. Our reading will be taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, starting at verse number 20. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, starting at verse 28. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, will find tied there a colt that had never been ridden. Untie it. Bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it, and he had, as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus. And after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. And as he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" Amen. Put your Bible down or your electronic device. Turn to your neighbor. Grab your neighbor with both hands. Look your neighbor square in the eye and say, "Neighbor, silence is not an option. Neighbor, silence is not an option." Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message, "Silence is not an option." You know, Brother Phil, when we were kids, toddlers, or got a little older and they brought us to church, the first thing they told us when we got in there is, "Sit down and be quiet." And when they were young, Reverend Rhodes, and you took them to see their first movies, and as you were sitting there with your baby, you told her, "Now, baby, I want you to sit here and be quiet." When we started school and we were going to school, we were told while we were in our classrooms that you are to sit down and be quiet. I want you to know that there are times it is important, even now as adults, when we are to sit down and be quiet. But now that we are adults, now that we come to church, some folks still go by that old premise that we had as children, that we are to come to church, Mother Austin, and sit down and be. Y'all heard what Mother Austin said? She said, "Oh no, I ain't mad at her." But I want you to stick a pin in that, and I want you to just remember what we just said. Because we're going to come back, and you know we got to deal with it. We got to look at it. But I want us to look at this scripture. And as we look at this scripture, y'all, I want you to see something with me. I want you to see how Jesus was going into the mouth of the lion. Because the lion's intent was to devour him. And come on now, if you know, if you keep going a certain direction and that there's something there waiting to tear you down, wouldn't you change direction? But I want you to understand that Deacon Jones, when it comes to Jesus, he knew why he had to go to Jerusalem. He had to go to Jerusalem to pay the cost for the entire world, which means he was traveling into the jaws of the lion. But there's something that happened as he is preparing to go to the city. He wanted them to know how he was going to ride in to the city. And when they got to the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples ahead and said, y'all go and get that colt. Untie it, a colt that had not been ridden before. You see, I want you to understand that we serve a God who doesn't take second place to anybody. We serve a God who does everything first. And Jesus saying that he doesn't want a colt that somebody else has been on. He wants something that nobody else has written. Because he wants us to understand that he is the beginning of all things. So when we put our trust in Jesus, we know that our hands, that we are in good hands, because we know that the Lord has already been there. So his disciples go down. Word might have already been sent up ahead well a long time ago that when Jesus comes, he's going to have one of his disciples, have some disciples come. And when his disciples come, they're going to untie this colt. And when they say that the Lord has need of it, don't you question it. Just let them have it. So when they got to this man's stall where he had his colt that had not been ridden before, and he saw them untying it, he immediately said, hey, what y'all doing? He says that the Lord has need of it. Now, if I can just divert for a second, you know, if I can just see this a little differently, if you can go down this road with me for a minute. You see, I want you to understand all of us have been tied up with sin. Sin was beating us down, and we didn't have anywhere to go because we were tied to sin. But I thank God that he used somebody and had them come and untie us so that we weren't stuck where we were. And now that we have been freed, I want you to know that the Lord did something with us that we couldn't do for ourselves. He took us to places we couldn't go by ourselves. He turned our lives around. He fixed us. He reshaped us. He remolded us. He has done a great thing with us, but it all started with him untying us from sin. And when they took the colt, Reverend Rhodes, back to Jesus, they took their cloaks, their coats, their garments, and they laid it on the colt. And then they placed Jesus there. The significance of Jesus riding a colt is important because folk in Jerusalem knew that whenever the king was coming riding on a colt, it was a time of peace. And Jesus riding into the city, going into the mouth of the lion, he said, I am the Prince of Peace. And no matter what chaos is going on around me, I'm going to have peace because I am going to get on this colt. And I am going to move forward, and I'm going to move forward because I am the Prince of Peace. You see, we have to realize, my brothers and sisters, we don't have to run from stuff. All we got to do is trust the Lord in the midst of the stuff we're going through. And when we trust the Lord, Mother Austin, the Lord will give us what? Peace. You see, I want you to understand, Livia, sometimes it's going to get a little rough. Sometimes it's going to be a little tough. But I want you to look to the Lord because he's the one who has what? Peace. I know, Phil, it gets tough sometimes. I know it gets rough sometimes. But, Lord, I need your peace. Sister Williams, I know sometimes it seems like things are crumbling all around us. It seems like nothing can hold it together. But when I put my trust in the Lord, he gives me what? Peace. I tell you, Sister Battle, sometimes so calm with all that is going on around you. Yeah. Why? Because we've got and it's all because we just look at Jesus, who is able to ride into the jaws of the lion, but still he moves forward in peace. And as he begins to make his way to the city, the Bible specifically tells us that the people were joyful. The people were excited. The people were praising God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that the Lord meant that they had seen. You know, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Well, I'm going to let that sink in for a second because y'all don't know where I'm going. We have a right to be quiet in church if the Lord ain't done nothing for you. Well, but if the Lord is blessing you, Sister Deborah, if the Lord is moving mountains for you, Ms. Chavis, if the Lord has been sticking closer to you than any brother or sister, Sister Rose, if the Lord is the one, Brother Simpson, who has brought you from the whatevers in your life, and you are able to be in church right now, and you know the only reason why you are still sitting here is because of the power of God moving in your life, then you realize there's no way you can sit there and act like God has done nothing for you. But when you know what God has done for you, Brother Pitt, there's no way you can sit there like God hasn't done nothing for you. When God has been good to you, blessing you, you can't help but praise Him. Deacon Elwood, I just don't understand how people can act like what God has done for them ain't really a whole lot. If you are still breathing, if you're able to move, that's called God's grace and mercy. And since God has given you His grace and mercy, that means the Lord is blessing you. And there's no way you're going to sit there and act like God ain't done nothing. Oh. All right. All right. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I feel like preaching this morning. Can I preach for a few minutes? You see, they didn't just praise Him. They knew why they were praising Him. Because they were able to see it for themselves. That's why we said, well, maybe you ain't seen God do nothing.
All right.
You ain't seen God do nothing for you. One of the biggest problems that we have in the church is that I understand in certain aspects of your life, it seems like you're catching all kinds of, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But as they say, peep this. You know what's going on, don't you?
Well.
You see what's happening, right?
Yeah.
But can you still blink your eyes and see? Can you still move your hand? Can you still move around? Do you still got a roof over your head? Do you still got clothes on your back? Do you still got a bed to sleep in? Do you still got some food in your refrigerator? Food on your table? Might have a little money in your pocket, but you wish you had more. But when you realize that you are still here, that is your key to let yourself know I got something to praise God for. Because I can see no matter how rough it is, the Lord is still making a way out of no way. While I'm still waiting for the Lord to fix this over here, I'm still going to praise him right where I am right now. That's why we got palms today, so that we can wave our palms, thank and praise the Lord for all he's done for us.
Hallelujah. He's worthy.
Well, why do we do this? We bless. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. You see, I want you to understand something. The reason why they were praising Jesus, because they knew Jesus was blessed. They knew, some knew he was the Messiah. Others knew he was somebody because they saw what he'd done. Others were just shouting because everybody else was shouting. You know, but the reality is that they were there praising him, and then they took their cloaks and they put them on the ground, that as he was riding the colt, it walked over top of all that stuff. You know what that was saying? Was that what they were saying? Is that, Lord, we humble ourselves in your presence. We praise you in your presence. We prostrate ourselves in your presence, because we recognize that you are an awesome God, and we are thanking and praising you for what you are doing in our lives, what you see. What we've seen you do for others, we know you also can do for us. You see, my brothers and sisters, what we got to understand is that when we see the Lord heal and deliver other folk, that's time for us to shout. You see, because whenever we got to go through something, we just praise the Lord, because we know that he's going to do the same thing for us. You see, when we put our trust in the Lord and thank him and praise his holy name, I want you to know great things will happen. But Nicole, there's an issue. And Tiff, let me tell you what the issue is, because you asked. No matter how high the praise, Mac, there's always a hater in the house. Everybody who was there assembled as Jesus was making his triumphant entry into the city. Everybody wasn't shouting his praises.
All right.
Everybody wasn't glorifying and praising God. There were some folk hating on Jesus. There were some folk who had the audacity to go up to Jesus while he is riding triumphantly in peace into the jaws of the lion. And while he is going there, I can see, if I can use my spiritual imagination, I can see some of the Pharisees coming and walking next to the colt, and they're saying to him, Jesus, tell your folk to shut up. It says in there, teacher, order your disciples to stop. In today's vernacular, Jesus, tell these folk to shut up. When we're in church and we're praising God, there's always somebody looking at you. Every time the pastor says something, you got to say something. Every time the pastor preaches, you got to say something else. Every time the pastor says something, you got to go on and give my answer. Why don't you just sit there and just be quiet? But no, actually, they say, why don't you just shut up? It don't take all that. I'm trying to hear what pastor's saying. Well, I'm listening to him too. But I understand that when I am listening to pastor, I ain't just looking at pastor. I'm listening to what the Lord is saying. I'm looking at how that word is touching me. I'm looking at how I'm being moved by that word. I'm seeing how that word is all over me. I see how that word has changed my life. I see how I've been healed and delivered through that word. But you want me to sit here and just shut up? Oh, talk to the hand, because I ain't shutting up right now. There's always somebody in the house who's looking around at other folk in the house. And Brother Roscoe, what they are saying is, why don't they just shut up? Oh, here they go again. Sister Dee Dee, they say, oh, Lord, wait, watch. Once you hit that high note on that piano, watch him get up and start jumping. See, there they go, what I tell you. You don't know what the Lord has brought them through. You don't know how he's bless them. Miss Chambers, they just can't relate to what the Lord has done through you, for you, and around you. Brother Clark, they ain't just so caught up with you making noise that they can't relate to why you are making the noise. They think you just being loud because you just loud. No, that ain't the reason for it. But all they're trying to do is tell you to just shut up. Now, Jesus, as he's riding on that colt, he's riding looking down at these Pharisees telling him to tell his folk to shut up. Jesus said, let me tell you something, bro. If these don't praise me, I want you to know the rocks gonna cry out. I don't know if anybody in here read today's Daily Bread yet. But if you didn't, you're gonna find out about it right now. The title of today's Daily Bread was When Water Blushes. Now, the title in itself intrigued me. And then as I read it, because I do my devotions in the morning, the first thing I do when I get up. And when I read the devotion, it talked about how the creation recognizes the Creator in every aspect, from the water to the wind. And then it mentioned in that scripture, Luke chapter 19, verse 40, when Jesus said, I tell you, if they remain silent, the rocks will cry out. What that is saying is that a rock, which we consider to be something which doesn't have life to it, was still created by the Father through the Son. And since it was created, that if you try to get the people of God to be quiet, I want you to know that the rocks will cry out his praise because they recognize who their Creator is. You see, my brothers and my sisters, I want you to know something today. Today is the day you stop sitting on your hands, because silence is no longer an option. When you know that the Lord has been good to you, I will not sit there on my hands anymore, because silence is not an option. I serve a mighty good God who brought me a mighty long way. Silence is no longer an option. I got to praise him. I got to thank him. I got to magnify his holy name. Why? Because silence is not an... When you know how good the Lord has been to you, when you know what the Lord has brought you through, there's no way you're going to come to church, sit on your hands any longer, because our God has a mighty good God. He's brought you a mighty long way. He turned some stuff around in your life. You see, when you know God has done something for you, you will no longer sit on your hands. Turn to your neighbor. Give him a high five. Tell him how good God is. I tell you, we serve a mighty good God. Silence is not a... You see, my brothers and sisters, I guess I got to preach about 5 more minutes. Because some of y'all ain't standing up. Some of y'all, I understand why you ain't standing up. But don't sit down, because we about ready to shut it down. I want you to realize today that the Lord is good. And it is left up to the people of God. If we say we serve a mighty good God, then what we're saying is that I will no longer be silent. It's not just you praising God. It's how you live your life for the Lord. That wherever you find yourself, I will not sit down and be quiet. Because I know what the Lord has done for me. And when I come across folk, I want them to know that he is a mighty good hand. Sister Francis, I know the hand might not be fully, you might not be able to fully use the hand the way you want to, but the Lord has brought you a mighty long way. I'm here to tell you today, when we put our trust in the Lord, there's no telling what can happen. Sister Mormon, I know you're still concerned about your brother, but they told you when you called me, they gave him 2 hours. And this is, what, 4 days later? And guess what? He's still alive. We serve a mighty good God. I will not be silent, because our God is too good for me to sit down and be shutting up. He's brought me a mighty long way. Has he brought you a mighty long way?
Is it blessing you right now? Silence is not a...
When I think about all that the Lord has done for me, you know how that song go, I just dance, 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 dance. Because when you know how good God is, I want you to know Jeremiah puts it best. It's like fire shut up in my bone. Because when you know how good the Lord is, there's no way you're going to sit down and shut up. You're going to have to say something. You're going to have to move. Because when you start thinking about all that the Lord has done and done through you and around you, I tell you, you just can't keep still, can you, Sister Boykins? Because he's just good like that. Marcus, isn't our God a good God? I tell you, he's good, ain't he, Sister Jerry? Ain't he good, Sister Jackie? Ain't he good, Brother Tony? I tell you, Elaine, isn't our God a good God? I tell you, he does great things. I will not be silenced. Why? Because silence is not